Blog Talk Radio.
We are the...
Worship you alone, blessed Savior, my God, from the depths of my heart, I'll give all praise and honor to your matchless King.
Bless your name. Hallelujah.
You alone is worthy, Lord. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise his name. Praise him. He's worthy to be praised. We ought to praise God just for who he is. Not for what he can give us, but who he is. God all by himself. God Almighty. The one and only true and living holy God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Have your mighty way tonight, Lord. Have your way. Be glorified. I want to welcome everyone here that is here on other devices, and those who may be on Spreaker, and those who may be on other devices. I'll just say that. this is prayer is the engine that advances the kingdom. This is the radio broadcast, and tonight we're going to hit a couple things that we need to go through. So I hope you got a pen, paper, and your constitution, because this broadcast really started on how we ought to pray according to God's, according to from the kingdom perspective, not the religious way that we have been taught. So I've asked some people, let me do that right. I've asked some people to bring who God has placed on their heart to intercede, because when we come here for this corporate prayer as the royal priests, we are coming to lift up sacrifices unto God that's pleasing and acceptable unto him. And most of all, that we present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, acceptable, pleasing unto him. And so so I hope everyone that's listening in now that, you know, God has placed someone in your heart to intercede. Yes. Well, it's not just going to be me praying. It's not supposed to be that way anyway. But as we learn about how we ought to pray, that's why we say take notes. And so you can look up scriptures and, you know, spend that time in your own private time to go back over what you've heard. Amen? Amen. So I am your host, Ambassador Odelia Jackson, and the speaker. The Holy Spirit is always the teacher. Well, on corporate nights when we pray, I'm not going to be the only one praying. I shouldn't be anyway. I'll say it that way. That we all come here to pray together, okay? Amen. So I'm trying to leave some space so that we can take that time out for that around about 9:05, okay? First thing I want to share is that I want to thank you all for coming, for those who attend, whether on other devices, Spreaker, Block Talk, on your computer. First thing I want to share is that what is prayer? Prayer is man giving God legal right and permission to interfere in the affairs, in earth's affairs. What it really saying is man exercises his legal authority on earth to invite heaven's influence on the planet. Why? In Genesis 1:26, you can write that down. Because God had made a decree that when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our image and after our likeness, he said, let them have dominion. And even though Adam lost it, Jesus Christ restored it. Amen. And so we have this dominion that we're supposed to be exercising through prayer. So I've never heard it that way until I started learning the kingdom. And so we can't pray according to God's will confidently if you have no knowledge of the kingdom. And so we thank God for meeting us where we were at that time. Now that we're learning of the kingdom perspective, we must have the knowledge of the kingdom to know God's will. Because God's will is what he intended in the beginning. And that's, and you won't know that unless you have the knowledge of the kingdom. Amen. So he's given humanity authority over the earth. That is why when we stop praying, we allow God's purpose for the world to be hindered. And then as you begin to wrap this around your mind, then you'll start understanding Luke 18:1, when he says men are always to pray and not faint. And in Matthew 16:19, when he says we will what we allow and disallow, they're talking about the keys of heaven that has been given to us. And those two truths right there are crucial for effective prayer. Amen. 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 So I can't hit everything that's on here, but just want to share that prayer is man giving heaven's earthly license to influence the earth. Prayer is terrestrial license for celestial interference. Prayer is man exercising his legal authority on earth to invite heaven's influence on the planet. Prayer is not an option for mankind, but a necessity. If we don't pray, heaven cannot interfere in earth's affairs. It's imperative that we take responsibility for the earth and determine what happens here by our prayers. But we're responsible because God has given us the authority. So it's back in our hands. So we're responsible. So this gives us the authority, those keys that he has given to us that I was just talking about, to bind and loose. To bind means to restrict, stop, hinder, fetter, check, hold back, arrest, or put a stop, hinder. To loose means to untie, unbind, unlock, liberate, release, forgive, or free. Keys represent the authority to lock, bind, or unlock, loose. Prayer and confessions are two of the ways we use this authority. We bind the works of darkness, which includes sickness, disease, hurt, witchcraft, poverty, death, destruction, confusion, defeat, and discouragement. We can loose ourselves and others from the works of darkness. You got to believe that. This will result in greater liberty and prosperity. Binding and loosing will help us in the areas of deliverance. We can loose ourselves from many things by way of our authority. We can loose others by praying these prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's enough of that. So those are some of the things that we need to know about kingdom prayer. And you have to believe it. Because if you have all this authority and power, like my what's his name? Glenn Blakely says. I love when he speaks, and he put something up the other day. He says, failing to be persuaded of the truth of your identity as a child of God will produce a form of godliness that has no power. The enemy scoffs at such impotent Christianity. Notice, when you were born again, you became a partaker of the divine nature. And you'll find that in 2 Peter 1:4 and Ephesians 4:24. Christ is in you, and it is natural for you to live supernaturally. You are called to greater glory, greater works. This is your heritage. Receive it and walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That's by Glenn Blakely. And I said, so true. But you got to believe it. You can be Christian, but if you don't receive your true identity, you can be a Christian with no power. Have this godliness, but no power. And we don't want that, right? We want the enemy scoffing at us. All right, well, let's get started here. One of the main things, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're going to read that. And it's something that we need to know before we get started. I got a lot of stuff to carry, so let me keep going. 2 Corinthians. And then I'm going to share these few things right here, and then I'm going to pray. And then we're going to get into our lesson tonight. But I have to share this with you so that we will be on the same page. Can't come here with, we need to be one mind. 2 Corinthians. We need to be one mind, one accord when we do intercede for others. Same page. 2 Corinthians, what did I say? 2:11. And this is, you probably saw this before, but let's go over it again. 2:11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And this is Paul's letter to us. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices unless he get advantage of us. And so 1 John 4, let's go real quick. Hope you write the scriptures down so you can go back and check them later. 1 John 4:4. These are some things you need to keep in mind when we in prayer and when we dealing with casting out devils and healing the sick. These are some things that we need to keep in mind and know about it. Amen. 1 John 4:4, I said, right? All right. 1 John 4. I'm in the wrong. No wonder I'm having problems. No wonder I'm having problems. 1 John 4:4. And it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's something like what I just read about Glenn when he says, God is in us. We ought to do greater works. Okay? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So there should be no fear nowhere. Luke 10:19. Let's turn there. Write it down. Let's turn there. Luke 10:19. Okay. 10:19. Let's get there. Okay, things next point here. Okay. Now look at this. Write this down. This is paramount. Behold, this is Jesus talking. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, that's coming from the king's mouth. And as I give you one of those scriptures, you can read the before and after, you know, on your own time, and so you can be understand that in context. But right now I'm just showing that God has not given us the spirit of fear. I think that's 1 Timothy. Let me turn here. 1 Timothy is the last one. 1 Timothy, and then we're going to pray. He's already told us in Luke 10, I've given you power, right? 2 Timothy, he's going to tell you what he didn't give you. Give me 1 second. What is this? We're going to see. Yes, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given you us the spirit of fear. See, fear is a spirit. It's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And that is another access of how the enemy can get into God's people. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. He shows you again what he didn't give us and what he has given us. And that sound mind is self-control. Amen. So keep those things in mind as we go over a few things here tonight. Let's get ready to start. Let me pray. And before we pray tonight, anybody that's here that have need to renounce some things, need to repent from some things, because you don't want no doors open for the enemy to interfere of what God is going to share with us tonight. And it's very important, not only for others' lives, but for your own life. Amen. So we're going to close up some breaches and hedges in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So repeat after me. Okay, because we want to repent of things that might be in our life. Things you don't even know, some stuff that be in our life that opens up a door for the enemy to come in. So we want to close breaches and hedges that the enemy will use to get in. Repeat after me. I close up any breaches in my life that will give Satan and demons access in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree that every hedge broken in my life is restored in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand in the gap and make up the hedges. I repent and receive forgiveness for any sin that has opened the door for any spirit to enter and operate in my life, family, ministry, or church in the name of Jesus Christ. I am a rebuilder of the wall and a repairer of the breach. I renounce all crooked speech that would cause a breach in the name of Jesus Christ. I destroy all spoken curses, negative words that I have spoken over my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I destroy all spoken curses and negative words spoken over my life by others, including those in authority, in the name of Jesus Christ. I destroy and disannul all ungodly covenants, oaths, pledges I have made with my lips in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind up all my breaches, O Lord. I command each breach be stopped now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command my walls be salvation and my gates praise. I put on the full armor of God now in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask for and thank you, Father God, for placing the cloak of humility over me in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree a hedge of protection around my mind, body, family, finances, possessions, and ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, turn every curse spoken against my life into a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to release some of the powers of God. Lord, release your glorious power against the enemy and scatter him in the name of Jesus. Lord, power and might are released from your hand and your rule over your enemy in the name of Jesus. The power of your anger is released against the power of darkness in the name of Jesus. I release the power and authority of the Lord now against all demons I encounter in the name of Jesus. I am delivered from the power of Satan unto God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, you divide the sea and destroy marine spirits through your power in the name of Jesus. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power of darkness in the city submitted to your power, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you display your awesome power so that men will believe. I am amazed at your power. Lord, release your power in healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Lord, release your powerful voice in the name of Jesus. Lord, your great power is released through your apostles, prophets, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, have your way. Lord, signs and wonders and miracles are released by the power of the Holy Spirit. I preach and teach by demonstration of the Spirit and power in the name of Jesus. Your power works in me. Lord, release powerful angels now on my behalf to fight my battles in the heavens in the name of Jesus. Lord, release the power of Elijah through your prophets in the name of Jesus. I am willing in the day of your power in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord, over each and every one. I decree and declare that weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And we pull down strongholds, and we cast down vain imagination, and everything that lifts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our thoughts are now subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare that our eyes are spiritual functioning with 20/20 vision for correct understanding and interpretation of divine movement. That our ears are in tune with correct frequency of the spirit, and that we have clear transmission in the name of Jesus. And Father, I decree and declare that those who plagued with evil spirits be delivered and healed as they submit to the King of Kings. I cancel all the plans and forces of evil sent against their lives. Let the work of evil be burned by your holy fire. Let men repent of evil and return to righteousness. I decree that no evil be established in our lives. Let your righteousness be established. I loose us from all evil doers and evil soul ties in the name of Jesus. Have your way tonight, Lord. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord. Let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, let's go there. Let's see what God is saying to us tonight and how this prayer is advancing, is the engine to advance the kingdom. And some of the things that I read in the beginning shows you how it is. Luke 15, let's go there. 15, verse 11. We're going to read through. 15:11. Let's go there. And read this here. As we read it, we're gonna see some things going on in the spiritual realm here. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that fall unto me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swines, that's pigs. And he would fain and have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put in a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf. All right, what we're going to do is stop right there, because you can go on and on. But what I'm trying to share with you is that this compelling story that shows how the enemy worked against us through our thoughts. You can take this for a note here. Our thoughts are powerful. Whatever we think about the most will give birth to all that we will experience in our future. So as you can see, that you can see how the enemy works against us through our thoughts. So in this, you'll see how the God of this world seduced an uninformed young boy. He seduced an uninformed young boy into wasting his substance, his time, his talent, his treasure, his gifts, his ability, his inheritance, anointing, and experience, etc. So when the average person think of warfare, images of war stricken places are come up. Very seldom does a person think of the mind as being the battlefield. There are a couple of realities that this story brings out about spiritual warfare. Listen up. The battle is not with flesh and blood. As we know that from Ephesians 6:12, we're going to turn in a little bit. But make note that in verse 12 of this Luke 15, the son, he demands the portion of his inheritance that was to be divided between him and his brother after the father died. But the father gives his son what he asked for. Further down, we see that he quickly wasted his substance in verse 13 and with riotous living. So if you understand what it means to be a child of wealth and means, you will know that this son would have been reared in an environment where financial stewardship was paramount. The fact that he demanded his inheritance before time and squandered it foolishly tells us that something or someone got a hold of his thoughts, telling him lies about what he deserved and that he shouldn't have to wait to receive what is due him. Now, how many of us have went through that with our own self? As a matter of fact, if you look way back and look at yourself, you was at that age, you couldn't wait to get grown, couldn't wait to get out of this house. Okay. And we see that in our kids now too, right? And Something or someone had to get a hold of his thoughts. Now he had everything. Okay. So he thought to himself he shouldn't have to wait to receive what is due him. Now, good parents generally tell their children to be patient and to not grow up too fast and to use their time and resources wisely. The son rebelled against everything that his father would have taught him up to that point. And that kind of rebellion is indicative of a demonic spirit at work. I mean, we got to start recognizing when we see demonic spirits at work. I mean, you got to be able to know what they are and how they react. And you got to know how to call them out. So when you call a demon, everybody don't turn around at the same time. You want the one to get out. That's the one you better call his name to get out. So when you see people acting that way, that's a strong indication that it's a demon spirit at work. Spiritual warfare in its purest form is the counsel of the human mind by any other spirits other than the spirit of the Lord. So you're talking about the spirit, the small spirit, the small s, other than the capital S spirit of the Lord. So that's spiritual warfare in its purest form. So a lot of people think it's just kids acting up. That's a demon, okay? that have crept into your child through his thinking, or something that's caused this child that it was a space open in their life where the enemy just attached himself to that child. So you must discern a spirit that is at work or overtly or covertly. In Ephesians 6, let's read that. 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see it everywhere. It's not just in our children, and you'll see it in the street. You'll see it on the job. You'll see how people act like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or Mrs. Okay? Obvious that this son is neither having a fight with his father. He's not having a fight with his father, nor is he anyone pushing him out of the nest before his time. So if you read this passage carefully, you'll see nobody pushing him out. He just demanded his stuff, and his father just gave it to him. So obviously, there's something going on in his mind before he even came to that point. So there is an internal spiritual struggle that influenced the son's action, and giving into that struggle caused his demise. So the same is true for us. Our warfare is not with human beings, but with the devil and his demons, who propagate doctrines of devils, heresies, and Luciferian idolatries, and satanic philosophies and diabolical imageries. Our enemy, Satan, attempts to defeat us with strategies and deceit through well-laid plans. You know, he's very cunning, and deliberate deceptions and manipulations. So when he speaks to our mind, an attempt to derail us from following a path that leads us to the fulfillment of purpose and destiny, he never speaks to us in the second person, you know, like you. No, he uses the first person, I, to deceive us into believing that the thoughts running through our minds are our thoughts and not suggestions or projections, prompting or urges, emanating from him. So he begins his warfare strategies by bombarding our minds with a clever device pattern of little nagging thoughts, suspicions, doubts, fear, wondering, reasoning, and theories. He moves slowly and cautiously, deliberately, and patiently. He will never say, "You are sick, you are poor, you should leave your church," or "You are." He's never going to make it. So he'll never say, "You are never going to make it." This is what he will say: "I am sick. I am leaving this church. I am never going to make it because," okay? He really wants us to believe that the thoughts he placed in our mind are ours. That's why when Jesus said, "Let the sick say I am healed," he said, "Let the poor say I am rich," and said, "Let the weak say I am strong." What are you doing? You are speaking what you want, okay? What you want to see. But if you speak, "I'm sick," that's what you want to be, sick. Or "he make me sick," or "she make me sick." Well, you're going to be sick. Your mouth, your tongue is the power of life and death in that tongue. And what you speak, what you say is what you're going to have. So we got to be careful what we're saying, what we're thinking. Because whatsoever a man thinketh, that's so is he. So eventually, we got to watch what you're thinking. So that means you got to put in the right stuff. When Philippians 4, 9, I think it's 8 and 9, it says, "Think on these things." The word of God gives us what to think on. Jesus telling us what to say. He says, you say the opposite of what appear to be happening right now. So you got to know how to warfare. Jesus is showing us in his word how to warfare, but we go so much about what we see. But he says the just shall live by faith. It ain't about what you see. What did the word say? That's how we ought to be living, not what we're seeing. If our children are acting up, oh no, we don't pray that. We pray what we want to see, that they shall be delivered. They coming out. And we're going to call them demons out. In the name of Jesus, we're going to cast them out. Amen, amen. Let's go. And so, I lost my place. All right. So that's how he talks. So unless you think it's you, but it's not you. It sounds just like you, but that's his trickery. So when this happens, we must command. This is some things we should be doing. You might want to write this down. Command the spirit to go. Negative spirit, negative thinking, you got to go. Release the spirit from its assignment. Specifically, I release you from your assignment. And I assign this spirit to a new assignment under the foot of Jesus. The thoughts and emotions that we claim as mine are really spirits of depression, death, frustration, trying to abort our ministry, our purpose, and our destiny. That's what he's trying to do now. So this is how deceptive the weapons of the enemy are. Remember, when spirits come, they come to give diabolical counsel to your mind. You must resist. You must cast them out. Cast down vain imagination. You know them thoughts ain't of God. Ever cast that down with the word of God. Because this level of warfare is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's spiritual. It's not carnal. And I'm going to show you in a little bit that what it means by it's spiritual. We have spiritual parasites, which are demons, that will attach themselves to you if you open up your spirit, talking about the human spirit, not the spirit of the living holy God that may be, you know, that if you're born again believer, but if a believer spirit, their soul is open, a demon can attach himself to it. So you gotta watch what we, you know, the things that we are allowing to come in our minds and in our life that opens that up for them to attach themselves to us, especially if you don't know enough of spiritual warfare. Like we still on Ephesians 6, 12, and it talks about us wrestling not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So as I look in the expository dictionary Bible, and it talks about that we wrestle the properly, for our wrestling is that there is a struggle, a battle of life must be assumed at once by all who look at the world as it is. So the question is whether it is against flesh and blood or against a more unearthly power of evil. And flesh and blood, or rather perhaps also in Hebrews 2:14, it says blood and flesh. So in John 1:13, not of blood nor of the will of the flesh. And in Matthew 16:17 and 1 Corinthians 15:50, we have flesh and blood. The sense is clearly as the comparison of these passages show mere human power. possibly the word blood is here put first to prevent even a moment confusion with the idea of wrestling against the flesh as an evil power within ourselves. So in many passages of the epistle, Paul had dealt rebuking and putting to shame the works of darkness. But here he warns us that the struggle is not a struggle with the flesh and blood of wicked men, a struggle which they still admit of some reserve of sympathy, but a truce a truceless war with the spiritual powers of evil themselves. Now, when we talk about against principalities and against powers, in Ephesians 1, 21, I hope you're writing these verses down because I can't go to all of them, okay? Against the rulers and principles and power describes simply angelic powers, whether of good or evil. But in the following clause, Paul defines them as power of evil and appears to indicate two different aspects of this evil power. The original phrase is striking and powerful against the world ruler of this darkness, against the spiritual powers of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the ruler of darkness, properly, the world ruler of this darkness. The phrase is simply a poetic expression of idea conveyed by the title, the prince of this world, applied to Satan in John 12, 31, and in John 14, 30, and in John 16, 11, on which we see notes, for this darkness is obviously, as our version rendered it, following an early gloss on the passage, the darkness of this present world as a world overshadowed by sin, and so kept wholly or partially from the light of God. And how true is that? So a lot of people cannot see because they're in darkness. So the title, the prince of this world, was applied by the Jews to Satan, especially in reference to his power over the heathens as lying outside the safety of the covenant. Paul applies it in a corresponding sense here to those outside the wider covenant of the gospel. Just as in 1 Corinthians 5:5 and in 1 Timothy 1:20, he speaks of excommunication from the church as delivery to Satan. So you know how he's excommunicating somebody from the church, you know, deliver his flesh over to the devil. The spirit of evils are therefore spoken of as a welding the power with the tempter claimed for himself in Luke 4:6. Over such souls are still in darkness and alienated from God. This is a powerful, real, but limited and transitory, able only to enslave those who yield themselves. And you see that in Romans 6. Let's look at Romans 6. Only those who yield themselves can be enslaved. Look at Romans 6, I think around the 13 or 14. Romans 6. This is the only way is we yield to the enemy, because he really has the power of us unless we give it to him. Romans 6, 13. Let me try to start right here. He says, neither yield your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin has no more dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Wherefore shall you sin? Because we are not under the law, but under the grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself, servant to obey, his servant you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And that's Romans 6:13-16. And so it's only those who enslave, only to enslave those who yield themselves to it and destined to be overcome. And that's when they become parasites. And it seems to refer especially to the concrete power of evil exercised through physical and human agencies. And those human agencies are people like, example, the guy not too long ago, or a year or two ago, that went up to the school and shot 20 people, the kids, and you know, went up to the school. He must have been a parasite on him, because He was a host, hotel, or guest house for demons that they could just use you and then let in when you, when everything is over, they leave. Sometimes. Mm. So we got to watch how we being entertained, the things that we allow in our lives, even through sometimes sickness and stuff can enter our bodies through anger and bitterness, or you know, through accidents, and you know, something that might have been an accident, you could become bitter and angry at, well, I just had to happen to me, and you know, stuff like that. Those kind of things open up little doors and cracks for the enemy to get in. So spiritual wickedness in high places, the spiritual powers are spiritual principles, but spiritual hosts of wickedness and the praise of heavenly places correspond to the power of the air. In Ephesians 2:2, we see stands obviously an antithesis to the darkness of this world. The sense, as in other cases, seem to be local. But when you look at the notes in Ephesians 1:3, the spiritual hosts of evil are described as fighting in the regions above the earth. But the meaning underlining their figures surely points to the power of evil as directly spiritual, not acting through physical and human agencies, but attacking the spirit in a higher aspect in which it contemplates heavenly things and ascends to the commune of God, as the former idea responds to the gross work of temptation on the high mountain. So this, to the subtler spiritual temptations on the pinnacle of the temple. My. So those are just some ideas of what those words mean in Ephesians 6:12. Tell us that we're not fighting against, we have no spiritual warfare against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual wickedness and principalities and high places. And you can't go fighting them with your fist or your gun or your sword or whatever. You got to fight in the spirit realm, and that's through prayer. That's through decreeing and declaring. And I've shared about what decreeing and declaring does, and that when you decree and declare, you know what you're doing. That's why we come here to learn and take notes, so that when it comes down to the real deal, when you get it all in your spirit, man, when you decreeing and declaring a thing, it's a spiritual, ramification that goes on when you decree and declare. And here it is. I got it's five things that goes on when you decree and declare. You speak God's blessings upon your life. You institute the very will and purpose of God, because you're using His words. Okay, you're supposed to be praying back the words of God. That's how you know you be confident of when you're praying according to His will, because you're praying His word back to Him. His word is His will. And separate and and when you decree and declare, you separate and destroy the plan of the enemy in the spirit realm. And then you impose, when you decree and declare, you impose a judgment the enemy cannot oppose. How powerful is that? And that's the power of decrees, not declare, because declare is a little different than decree. Declare is you declaring what you know you have. Like, you know you have power. You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. You're declaring what you have. You have power over all devils. That's declaring what you have. But when you're decreeing a thing, God's word, you're declaring God's word back to Him. Here's an example. I decree, decree means to divide, separate, and destroy. That's what decree means. So when you decree, I am blessed, we establish the blessing while separating ourselves from anything purposed against it and destroying the plans of the enemy when we decree. You decree my children are strong and full of integrity. We divide our children's strength from their weakness and separate dishonesty and unrighteousness from within their midst and in their hearts. When we decree my home brim with wealth, we establish our wealth and destroy the spirit of lack and poverty. That's what decree, that's how powerful decree is. A lot of people decreeing stuff, but they don't know how powerful it is. So it's something when you understand something, it's more effective, powerful when you understand it. And the words that the scriptures that was used from that, what I just read was Psalms 112, verses 1 for the first one I did, and verse 2 for the children, and verse 3 for the my home brim with wealth. All that was in Psalms 112. From 1 to 3. My. So that's why it's important that we learn how to pray. A lot of people say, well, ain't nobody gonna tell me I've been praying for 20-something years. Yeah. Now, the disciples thought, they didn't think that way. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen. You gotta be humble and teachable so God can show you some stuff. You know? Amen. So I'm gonna stop right there. I'm probably going a little past something. Oh, no, I'm good so far. I think that's the right time. Well, the line's open if anybody want to share with their thoughts or comments and any intercessory prayer. If I have anything, we can all write down and pray here in our corporate time and in our private time. Line's open. Anybody on other devices, you can call in 760. 283-0834. I know I said a lot. I hope you know because all right. I have one intercessory prayer for evangelist Myrna, her brother. His appendix broke and some of the infection went in his body. That's her brother and her pastor, she says. And she asked for prayer. That we intercede out for him. All right, now we got to remember we got to open up our mouth wide so God can feel it. Amen. Can't be scared. I know sometimes we say when we learn the kingdom stuff. I know when I first started learning, I was just trying to wrap some of this stuff around my mind. But you know, if you have any accessory prayers, anything, any comments. Questions? Not tonight? Not tonight, huh? Let's go, yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let's go. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for us. Evangelist Myrna's mother for healing in his body. I pray the doctors caught that appendix that burst before it spread too bad. The infection. We command all spirits of infirmities, infections to be dried up and die in the name of Jesus. That you would have the way that the healing process begins in his body and that it'd be a total healing. We pray that you would minister to this family in a special way, Lord God, that they would just trust you and remember that you are our healer. Jehovah Rapha, the one that healeth us. The great physician, we call upon you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that if you tell us to heal the sick, cast out the demons, and loose those who are in bondage. We come against, we bind the strong man and spoil his good. Break and rebuke and cast out any spirits of cancer that would attempt to establish itself in our lungs and our bones and our breasts and our throat and our back, our spines, our livers and kidneys and pancreas and skin and stomachs in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of a hernia to dissolve, dry up in the name of Jesus. The spirit of, I command every germ or sickness that touches our body to die in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord, for those who may be under the sound of my voice and those who hear this on the archives and are present now, Lord, that healing will begin in the bodies. Even those hidden growths and things that have not showed up yet, I pray for healing, that you will send your fiery, your virtue, Lord, and burn up every infirmity in the people of God, that you would have your way. For Christ's sake, Lord, heal us, that we may fulfill the purpose that you have called us to, and that your will be done in our lives and in the earth, Lord God. We pray your will be done. I pray you have your mighty way for each and everyone that's here today, Lord God. I don't know what problems that people have in their life, but we pray that for the leader to see for our children, Lord, that our children's minds, these little games and stuff that they're playing with, and how there might be doors that open up their mind to the enemy. So I pray, Lord, that you close every door, that you help them lose a desire for that game or whatever that is that that caused that door to be open in the name of Jesus. We cast out every vain imagination over our children's mind. We speak over their minds for them, Lord. We intercede for them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Through the cartoons or whatever they may be watching that's subliminal that we don't even know about, Lord God. So we pray that parents and guardians will take responsibility and that we will guard our children's mind about what they're watching, that we would parental control on things and that we will watch them like over their minds and put in their minds what you said for us to put in their minds. And that's include us. So we have to have it in our minds too. So I pray, Father, that we by the Spirit of God will be obedient to what you said in Deuteronomy 6:5-9. And that we would love you with all our heart and our soul and our mind. And you said if we love you, that we would keep your commandment. Mm-hmm. And this is one that you commanded us, that we would, when we rise and when we go down and when we rise up and when we walk along the way, that we would teach them that your kingdom message would be frontlets in their eyes, and that it would be upon our houses and our gates, Lord God, and that they would know it inside out, that they would be saturated with it, Lord God, that they would not be defenseless, but they would stand flat-footed before the enemy and speak with them in the gates, and rebuking and commanding them to leave in the name of Jesus. So I pray, Father, you would have your mighty way over your people, Lord God, that those who are becoming into the and to understand the kingdom message, Lord God, that the minds would be healed, that the eyes would be healed, that they will see what you're saying about the kingdom, Lord God, that they would understand it, Lord God, that the enemy will not snatch what has been sown in their hearts, Lord God, that you would give them a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And your word said that you would fill them, that the people of God will continue, even if they think they know it, to continue to seek your kingdom first and your righteousness, Lord God, that we seek your rule and reign in our lives daily, day by day, moment by moment, and your way of doing and being right in every circumstance, situation, and area of our own lives, Lord God. So have your way, that your will be done in our lives, that we would do what you called us to do, fulfill the great commission, that we would do Matthew 24:14, preach this gospel of the kingdom of God to the world as a witness to every nation, and then this dark age will come to an end. And so, Father, by the Spirit of God, that you would have your way over the people of God. Have your mighty way. We thank you, Lord God, for this time to be spend time to learn more about who are we having spiritual warfare with, and not be ignorant of it, but that we would be alert to the adversary who is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so that we as royal priesthood that we would stand in the gap, that we would intercede for those who cannot defend themselves and who were just coming in to the fold, Lord. We continue to pray for those who have not entered to the fold, that there will be a tsunami of spiritual growth, new birth, tsunami of spiritual growth, and tsunami of spiritual deployment, that others will go out and get others, that we would occupy until Jesus comes by doing our assignment you have given to each and every one of us. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Help us that those who know their assignment, that we would teach our children, that we would edify them and equip them, that they would be deployed as they learn their purpose, their true identity and destiny, and their assignment in the earth. So have your way, Lord, over each and everyone here today. We pray that you would have your way. I pray, Father, that others would be encouraged to share and pray along with me, Lord God, that we would intercede for others. So have your way, Lord God. We pray for the lost in our family, Lord. We pray that you give us the words to speak to them. Pray. I continue to ask you for how we're going to get to their minds, Lord. The only thing you can do is tell them the truth, for what you said, to tell them about the kingdom. And so I pray, Father, that they would hear and their eyes would see, that they would see the truth, Lord God. Receive the truth, Lord God. Submit to your kingdom, Lord. And so have your way. Your will be done. Stay focused, careful, give you praise, which rightfully belong unto you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We put it about secret around there. We took all of our secret around there. We put it about around there. We took all of our secret around there. Have your way, Lord. Have your mighty way. That your will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, in us, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody have anything to say before I close out? All right. Well, okay. Well, I'm not going to belabor. I'm telling everybody thank you for tuning in, and see you next Friday or Wednesday, 8 o'clock, same time, same number. It's all to you then. God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless you.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue in Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
We are victorious.